Letters to Daniel, Volume 2, Letter 81, Dr. Chuck Missler.
66.
6640.
Your future lies in 6640.
66 books by 40 authors, and yet we now discover it's an integrated message system from outside our time domain.
Welcome to 6640, Chuck Missler's daily program connecting the Bible to your life and the world around you. It's God's plan that began before time, and it's your future. It's a plan that includes you.
Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King, 2012, in the third month, on the 13th day of the third month.
We're going to undertake a study of the book of Daniel, and this book is one of the most fantastic books in the Bible for some very specific reasons. But I also have to share with you that for me personally, it's probably the book that impacted my life as a young, impressionable teenager more than any other thing. I had come to the Lord in my teens. I accepted Jesus Christ. But like most youth, you know, was busy doing my things. But I had a friend that happened to have a copy of Sir Robert Anderson's classic work called The Coming Prince. That book at that time was out of print. This was a treasure that he gave me as a gift. As I got into it, I was blown away. Now that book, in the meantime, you see, it was originally published in 1894 by Sir Robert Anderson. He was head of Scotland Yard. He was knighted. But he made some discoveries about the book of Daniel that are really quite startling, and we will be dealing with those when we get further into the book. But that so astonished me, it was the book of Daniel and the discoveries in that book that galvanized me into the reality that Jesus Christ really is who he claimed to be. You say you can't prove the Bible. Wrong, you can, if you do a little bit of homework. And the book of Daniel stands as a pillar, as an apologetic, as well as a book of prophecy in both terms. So I think you're going to find it one of the most rewarding studies that you can undertake. The book of Daniel, of course, we're in session one, which is introduction, and we'll deal with chapter one, which is basically the deportation of these teenage kids by a foreign power. Now, to give you, put this in broad perspective, as we look at the panorama of history, obviously, we're far beyond Genesis, the creation of man all the way through Abraham and so forth. We're beyond the Exodus. We're, in fact, even beyond the monarchy. We're at the collapse of the monarchy. We are really in the beginning of what's called the exile, the Babylonian captivity, right on the threshold of that, to put you in perspective here. Why study the book of Daniel? Well, I've mentioned because of the personal impact it had on me is one of the reasons I wanted to get that across. But the other reason most people undertake a study of this book is that it reveals all of Gentile history in advance. The Bible generally deals with history, both past and future, through the lens of Israel. You generally see things biblically from the frame of reference of God's chosen people, the nation Israel. But there are a couple of exceptions to that, and two of those exceptions are in this book, where the focus is on Gentile dominion. In fact, the book of Daniel shifts from Hebrew to Aramaic, which was the Gentile language in that day, for those portions. In fact, it may shock you to discover that there is a chapter in the Bible that was written by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the world at that time. He not only wrote it, he posted it throughout the world. And for some reasons that I'll share with you when we get there, I'll share with you a suspicion I have. When I get to heaven, I expect to see Nebuchadnezzar there. That will surprise a lot of people, maybe even him. But
Dear Dan, sometime in the early 1980s, I was made aware of an obscure Bible teacher by the name of Chuck Missler. He held forth from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Chuck Smith, pastor. I was informed by a brother who was associated with the Seattle Calvary Chapel meeting at Lincoln High School that one could obtain free tapes of his teachings from an outfit called Firefighters for Christ. The brother spoke somewhat matter-of-factly concerning these tapes and the teachings, as if one ought to have already known about the teacher, and that it was commonplace for a Calvary chapelite to have already been made aware of Missler and his teachings. I must have been way out in the woods or something, because I had never before heard of Missler or Firefighters for Christ. Anyway, he gave me an FFC brochure from which I ordered some tapes and listened, and really liked what I heard. I especially was drawn to his teaching on the Maseroth or Zodiac, because all I had ever heard about the Zodiac was that it was occultic and evil. Now I had been exposed to a reasonable teaching that stated the Zodiac, or Maseroth, was actually the gospel story being told in the star constellations. What a revelation! But it really got me to thinking about what I had been taught in Sunday school and how I had been taught, and made me question whether there were other things I didn't know or knew inaccurately. So I credit the Lord, who led me to a Bible teacher that loved the truth enough to break with church social convention, and was willing to drill down past erroneous biblical traditions into the heart of the Word and find out that which really is Webster's definition of truth, all in accordance with Scripture. As I stated earlier, I have listened to all of Missler's Bible studies and all but a few of his briefing packs, and I continue to be a member of the online forum at www.khouse.org. But I still have the benefit of the Lord having led me to the doctrine of the Reformers and an appreciation for their way of thinking. Blessings. Romanus Theophilus. P.S. With this letter, I have included a DVD-ROM with various files of Missler's audio products, plus a folder of some photos I have taken over the years.
And let's bow our hearts. We thank you, Father, for loving us so much as to give us not only your word, but your word incarnate, the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, of the Holy Spirit. We do ask, Father, that he would attend each of us individually and guide us as we search for more discoveries in this precious, precious collection of books that you've given us. We thank you, Father. And Father, we would pray that through that Holy Spirit and through that word, you would illuminate the path before us as we too have opportunities for moral heroism day to day. Help us, Father, too, to have the discernment and the resolve and the perseverance and the creativity to resolve these issues in a way that will please you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We also pray, Father, that you would illuminate precisely what it is you'd have of us in the days ahead, that we each might be better stewards, first of all of our own hearts, that would reprioritize our lives with you at the head. Help us, Father, to overcome the tendency of the urgent preempting that which is important. We do pray, Father, that you would help us be better stewards, more fruitful stewards, and more pleasing in your sight as we commit ourselves into your hands without any reservations in the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.